Hello there, Peterman here. And this is Out and About with Elaine. Nice to know that she's gainfully employed.
Morning, everyone. Woohoo! It's cool jazz and it's so cold outside. It's unbelievable. Welcome to Out and About with Elaine. My name is Elaine LaRoche, and this is our last show of the last 2017. I'm sorry. My brain is frozen. It's so cold outside. Oh, my God. In studio, I have some of my dear friends who braved the cold in 2017. Tony Viveris and Richard Lunt is here. And Tom will be calling in, and we're expecting Jim Corbin to come in, too. Hopefully he will, to give us an update and tell us that it's sunny and very, very warm, 80 degrees in Florida.
Don't forget, it's only 172 days to summer.
All right, I can't wait. Let's start the countdown now.
So there is a silver lining to this bad weather.
All right.
You know, and I hate to, when I was young, I could put up with the weather, but I realized that once you get older, it's awful to be out there, and I hate to go out, but last night I forced myself, and I was glad I went out to a great two basketball games between Attleboro High and Bishop Feehan in the packed gym, and it was great to be out. But you have to talk yourself to get out of the house sometimes to stay active anyways.
Right.
But as I'm here this morning, as I'm getting up out of a warm bed, I'm saying, what am I doing? I'm going outside at 7 in the morning to be on the radio show, but once I'm here, I'm fine. Right, Richard?
Absolutely. We're fine. Yep. We're ready to go. And the cold, that's part of living in New England.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's one part I don't want, but that's okay. And we'll bring that up with Jim Corbin.
Yes.
That's my complaint.
See, everybody thinks they have this misconception that the meteorologists control the weather. They just report the weather, guys.
Yeah, they just
Where's
go
the
through
love?
Computer
Come on.
Modules and everything, and
they're the bearer of bad news.
Yeah. Well,
and they also could be the bearer of good news.
True, true. But we are in New England. So what's been happening with you, Tony? It's been a while since we've spoken.
Oh, nothing. It's I've been busy and keeping busy and staying healthy.
Good.
That's my main concern. I'm doing fine.
Good.
And, things do change. We have a new mayor coming in on Tuesday evening, and I'm looking forward to going to the inauguration. And, while I speak on that while the year ends out, long-term mayors always seem to be surprised that they lose. But that happens. It happened with Cyril Brennan, who's in office for 16 years, and he was thrown out because of taxes. It happened with Judy Robbins. It happened with Mayor Dumas. And, so we got new blood, and people always want change, or some of these people have political baggage, or they didn't get enough attention. You know, whatever the reason, it's part of the democratic process, and I'm glad it's alive.
I'm really excited to. I have not met Paul, and I'm looking forward to our new mayor. I think that he's going to do really great. He's going to bring a new energy into the Attleboro, the city of Attleboro. I think that what Mayor Dumas has done and set up and everything has laid a really great foundation for our new mayor to come in and make it his own. So I want to know what his game plan is, and it seems like he's full of enthusiasm and some great focus. So I'm really looking forward to having him on the show at some point.
And I think you're going to find a hint of what he's going to do on inauguration night with his speech. I've known Paul. He's been a family friend since he was 5 years old, and him and his two sisters would come over to our house to play with our kids during the summer while their parents ran County Square Pharmacy. Paul's a bright, smart, intelligent individual, very articulate, and he's a very sociable individual. I had lunch with him a couple of days after at the Blue Pride Bistro at Attleboro High School, And, you know, he was excited, and he was planning out his inauguration. He's going to have an inaugural ball later in January. So, you know, things, and I know that people were somewhat attached to Mayor Dumas, but, you know, that's the way it is in politics, especially in local politics. You know, it's fun to watch and fun to be on the sidelines, but sometimes being so involved, and I was involved in Judy's campaign manager,
sure,
for three of her terms, and the worst thing that I could think of was, I'm going to be the campaign manager. If she loses, I'm the loser because I'm the campaign manager. And that's, you know, it's a lot more fun being on the sidelines and watching it than being, you know, involved in it. So,
sure.
So I'm on the sidelines from now on.
Right. And I think Paul's campaign, his approach was so different, too.
Oh, yeah.
He was just so genuine as far as, like, going door-to-door and riding his bike around Attleboro and talking to the people. I know he went to my son's house. My son was very impressed. I mean, he's been living here for 12 years. He's got a house. He's got his family. You know, he's a young person, and they, you know, young people are concerned about taxes and the school systems. Both of my granddaughters, you know, go to schools here in Attleboro, and teachers are great, and I'm real excited to, like I said, have him on the show at some point and also find out, you know, what's going on in the city and everything. So it's an exciting time,
yep,
and I think that we do see a change, and it's good. Change is good, and I think that, you know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, what challenges I know with the high school coming up, and, you know, there's a lot of seniors that I've spoken to that are very concerned about raising taxes and everything, especially being on a fixed income. So we'll just have to see. Time will tell.
Yeah, it's going to be an exciting political year because there's going to be elections to fill Paul's seat. There could be another election for a senatorial seat. There's going to be an election for the high school for for the proposal of the debt exclusion for the high school. So, you know, there's going to be some critical times coming up. So, but we'll see, as you said, Elaine, and it's going to be an exciting new year.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, we wish him the very best and hope that he'll come on regularly and update us as what's going on in the community. So, it'll be great. Yeah, it'll be great. So, Richard, what are your New Year's Eve plans? Do you have any? Are you going out? Are you staying in? What is the
May go out on New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on how everything flows and everything.
Right.
But as far as resolutions, I plan to keep healthy and also keep working out like I have been in the past. So that's two of my goals. You know, just keep healthy and work out and keep try and keep a positive attitude, even though I'm in a job search.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that time. You know, those type of times I tend to get down on myself.
Sure.
Or because, you know, the job search process is so much involved, and sometimes you have your ups and your downs, but my goal is to get a permanent job in 2018 in my field, too.
And we're going to have you back on. We want to mention that Richard will be coming back on next Saturday, and we're going to be talking about job strategies, how to get a job in 2018, what are the hot commodities coming up in 2018, and how to write a resume, you know, and all about those interesting things. So if you're looking for a new position or just curious about that, we invite you to tune in next Saturday. So again, we'll have you back on for sure.
Yeah,
and,
great.
And we want you in the job force because, you know, you've got to pay for my Social Security, Richard.
I know, yeah. I was just thinking that, Tony.
Oh, Tony.
You know, you can. How about newsroom director, like in the old station?
Ah, the old days, yes.
Yeah, the old days, you know.
News director and, you know, on-air news guy.
That's right.
Now here's a local news with Richard Lent, our news director.
Yeah.
That's right. So, yeah.
But anyways, yeah, well, good luck. I didn't know that you're out of a job.
Yeah, I've been contracting the last few years in human resources, various positions, so to build up my skill set. Now I'm ready to get a permanent job.
And I remember, you were working in Boston, right?
Yeah, for a long time.
So are you still looking in Boston or something local?
I look everywhere, in Boston and Framingham and south of Boston, Providence. Yeah. So I'm pretty much open to location. That's important too.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to kind of like weigh the location, and like if you go on the commuter rail, you know, you have to like the expense. Do you know how much a monthly pass is?
Yeah, $306 a month.
Yeah, when I first took the commuter rail back in 1999, the commuter rail pass was like $198 a month. Mm-hmm. So it's increased greatly, and where those dollars go, that's a whole other avenue there. I mean, they go to repairs, and they've done a good job, since Charlie Baker took over with the MBTA, mm-hmm. With maintenance and all of that, and how to get through the tough months, the winter months, and they have a plan in place, and they've streamlined the MBTA quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when I first came on as a ticket agent here in Attleboro, back in 1993, it was $120 a month for the monthly pass.
Times have changed, that's for sure. So. And you know what else is new up there? I was just up in Boston for a doctor's appointment on Wednesday at Back Bay. When I tried to get back on the train to come home, they had security there, and they wouldn't let you down on the platform until it was almost 2 minutes before your train departed.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, okay, so I assume that they're also, this time of the year, they've kind of increased security.
Yes.
Especially with New Year's Eve coming up, you know, with First Night Boston, you know, they have security preparations there too, whether it's the T, the commuter rail, the subway system, and all of that. So,
right.
Yeah, so they have to be prepared.
Yeah, it was the first time I've ever seen that. And, I mean, I've been in Boston, like South Station, where they had the dogs and the police, going on. Right, they've always had that.
Yeah.
But this is the first time that they had security right there. You know, you couldn't go down the platform until the time. And people were getting upset with them, you know, and it's like, people, you know, just wouldn't you rather be safe? You know, I mean, that's the most important
South
thing.
South Station, the only problem was they parked those trains so fast.
Oh, my God, I know. What is
station.
That?
You know, I don't know why, but I often tell the conductor, I says, I might as well walk to Attleboro, since I've walked this far.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's pretty far
Especially
pretty
when it's
far
cold
away.
Out there.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And, you know, it's always windy in Boston.
Another thing at South Station, what the ticket takers do, they're at the platform. That you have to show them your ticket.
Prior to getting
on the train, and then when you get on the train, the conductor takes a ticket. But they want you to, physically show you.
Do that.
Yeah,
yeah.
So everybody has a ticket. It's mm-hmm. part of their revenue collection system.
Right.
Yeah. You know, so nobody rides for free.
unless the train is crowded and it's impossible to go down up and down the aisles. When people are in the aisle.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, especially, it is hard, like at 5 o'clock at night and you're on the train and the poor conductor has to get through everybody just to collect the fares.
We're going to hold you right there. We're going to take our first break. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. Our number here is 508-222-1320. And if you would like to talk to Tony and Richard, just come on back and let's add to the conversation. We'll be right back after these messages.
Got to go
but
away.
But baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has
been hoping that you'd drop
so
in.
So very nice.
I'll hold your hands. They're just like
my mother will start to
beautiful.
Worry.
What's your
and
hurry?
Father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fire.
Monthly meeting of the Gatcher Consumer Advisory Committee will take place in the Balfour Room of the Attleboro Public Library on Thursday, January 18th from 1 to 2 p.m. This meeting is open to the public. Anyone wishing to come speak about issues with the GATRA fixed route or paratransit services is invited to attend. Group transportation to and from the meeting is provided free of charge by GATRA, and the meeting is accessible to individuals with disabilities. To arrange for a ride to the next meeting, you can call 508-824-1367 by noon the day before the meeting.
Are you looking for more opportunity? The Literacy Center is here to help. We have free year-round classes in English, computer literacy, and high school equivalency. With the help of teachers and tutors, you can prepare for your citizenship test, make a resume, get ready for college, or learn how to speak better English. Classes held during the day, evening, or on Saturdays. View our website, theliteracycenter.com, or call 508 226-3603. The Literacy Center, building a better community.
Hamilton was adopted from a rescue in 2008. He really likes to be around people. I get out my mat and I'm doing a downward dog and he's underneath. He's quite the pug about town. He gets invited to a lot of parties. He knows he's a pretty big deal. Look at this little face. How could you not love him?
Hamilton the Pug, Instagram star and shelter pet. Amazing adoption stories start in shelters. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Hello there, Peterman here. And this is Out and About with Elaine. Nice to know that she's gainfully employed.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Oh boy, I think we are going to get some snow later today. I was listening to Channel 10 today, and Tony's laughing because, well, I can't help it. You know what I'm saying? And there's snow in the forecast this morning, so we'll wait for Jim Corbin to either stop in or call in today, and bring us up to date as to what's going to be happening out there. If you'd like to jump on the line and tell us what your New Year's resolutions are, our number here is 508-222-1320. Yes, I do have I'm struggling with a cold, and hopefully I'll be better.
Yeah, less for Richard and I, I guess. We'll let you know in a couple of days.
Oh, God. I know, it's not fun.
Richard was talking about New Year's Eve, and I always remember going to New York on Times Square. Was
really, you did?
Yeah, wow. And we had a great time. The only problem was we took the train out of Providence. It was 5:30 train, and we didn't know what time it was going to get to New York at Grand Central Station, but it was $9.95 round trip. This was in the 60s, and it made every single stop along the way. We got to Grand Central at 11:30, and we ran down Times Square and watched the big ball drop, and we were there overnight. And thanks, Elaine.
You're welcome.
And, you know, we had a grand time. And the last time we really went out to celebrate, other than private parties,
yeah,
my wife and I was down in Chatham a couple of years where we took our son and daughter-in-law and the two grandchildren and stayed in Chatham and celebrated first night. And that's really a family-orientated first night down there. Mm-hmm. And it was great. We stayed at the Chatham Wayside Inn for, I think it was three nights and 4 days. And we just had a grand time. The kids loved it. Fireworks over Oyster Pond at midnight.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, but there are small venues if you don't want to go to the big city type thing where, you know, you can enjoy it and have it more wholesome for, especially if you have kids. So.
Sure.
Yeah. And far as New Year's resolutions, I don't have any. I remember years ago when I smoked one New Year's Eve, I threw my pack of cigarettes and lighter, went out the front door and threw it out in the field across the street. And I remember getting up on New Year's morning and going over to the field across the street looking for those cigarettes and lighter. So I said, what's the point, you know? I mean, I eventually quit, but...
That's funny.
But, you know, my New Year's resolution is to make it through the new year.
There you go. With a positive attitude. That's great, Tony. But, yeah, with the first night, that began in... And that started actually in Boston in the mid-70s. I think like 1975, they created that concept of first night, and it kind of took on a life of its own.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember in my earlier years, I used to go to that quite regularly. I
mean, oh, no kidding.
And they had like fireworks along the Boston Harbor at midnight, and I think they're going to have that this year too. This year, I guess the Frog Pond, they were going to have an ice show. Ice skating show, but the performers, it would be too cold for the performers, but the ice skating will still be there, but it's going to be cold for everybody. But bundle up if you're going to first night in Boston. But
is there a cost to it?
They used to sell buttons. I have to look on the website. I think they I don't know if there is a cost this year or not.
How about in Providence? Are they having a first night in Providence?
They are. Actually, it starts in the afternoon.
Right.
And it goes through till midnight, but they're going to have a laser show on the Superman building, and it's going to be really great. But there's a lot of things for the kids to do. There's going to be warming tents. There's ice skating down city where the Alex and Ani ice skating rink is.
Oh, yeah, bumper cars.
Yeah, did you see that?
Yeah, well, we were thinking about taking the grandkids, but
no kidding.
Too cold this week.
Yeah. Oh, boy, you're not kidding.
See, the Boston one, they're calling it First Night, First Day Boston, so they'll have the activities on New Year's Day as well.
Yeah. Wow.
And most of them are outside.
Yes.
But there's some inside performances, too, in the afternoon on New Year's Eve, and then New Year's Day there'll be activities across Copley Square and that area.
So. Oh, I love that. That's so pretty.
Yeah.
Like I said, I was up there on Wednesday, and it was, like, so pretty. It's still decorated and lots of lights, and, oh, it's just so nice up there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, New Year's Eve is supposed to be the coldest night of this cold stretch.
Really?
Yeah, that's so what they're saying.
Yeah, I think that's going to discourage some people from, just thinking about it makes me cold.
But still, if you bundle up pretty good, there's a lot of people that are hardy souls that will attend.
I'm not one of them, though, yeah.
Well, I think layers, too. Like when I used to ski, always layers, and make sure.
Well, as we speak right now, I have 4 shirts on, then this fleece thing.
Do you really?
Yeah. Yeah,
Well, I appreciate you coming out in this cold.
Well, you better appreciate it.
Oh, boy! I brought donuts for the crew here. Yeah, come on.
The heck with the donuts. I want to see a hefty raise of my paycheck.
As soon as I get one, you'll be the first to know. Our number here is 508-222-1320. We're talking about New Year's resolutions. I cannot turn on the television without seeing, five different, health tricks and, workout center and, Planet Fitness, $1 down, $10 a month, and all these things. And it's like the number one thing. Quit smoking is high on the list, too, you were saying, around New Year's. And, losing weight, saving money in the new year. But some of the people were saying, if you really want to plan a really good vacation in 2018, set a budget and explore where you want to go, then explore what you want to do, where you want to stay, and book the trip. Excuse me. I have a cold, sorry. But, a lot of people are turning a new leaf. They're investing in the stock market, of course, because, it is booming right now, mm-hmm. and it is good. I have to say that I didn't start investing in the stock market this year, and my son told me to invest. I'm not kidding. I have to laugh at this because I paid more money on an online dating site than when you join, you have to pay this fee. And then I shut it down, for many years. And my son said, Mom, you know what? Match.com just went public. Why don't you invest? So honest to God, I did. I bought a bunch of shares in that. And actually, I'm making $3 a share on my investment.
Wow.
So I figure, Match.com, guess what? You're paying me back for all the money that I, and all those loser dates that you set me up on, those people that, posted pictures of Tom Selleck and you go looking and it's Tommy Boy, or people that are, models that are sitting in Adirondack chairs and who is 6'3" and you go meet people in person and it's 5'2", a dwarf, and it's what the heck? So the laugh's on you because I'm making my money back.
That's where Meetup is very, very, meetups are great because I belong to several Meetup groups and that's a way to meet people and friends and, stuff happens and in cases, and some of them, they're not particularly dating sites, they're just people to get together, like singles, 35 mm-hmm. plus, and there's also, South Shore Hike and Bike that I belong to, and, you get along, get to know people with like-minded interests,
right.
Like hiking and biking, mm-hmm. or swimming, and whatever, outdoor activities, or dancing, and you just get to hang out with people. That's where Meetup comes in, and that's what I prefer instead of the online dating.
Oh my
I don't
God.
Trust
yeah.
online dating
no.
anymore.
No, I haven't done it
I did
years,
that years ago, but
yeah,
no,
me
no,
too.
Not, not anymore.
Then I thought, I'll just let it
So in other words, if you hit it big in the stock market, mm-hmm. Elaine,
yes.
Mike will be working for you. You'll be owning this radio station, and you'll be doing your show calling in from the Bahamas sometime next year.
I wouldn't be in the Bahamas. I'd be in Hawaii.
Hawaii.
Okay. Oh, Hawaii. Wow. Yeah, that's a great location,
yeah,
too.
Well,
yes.
For you to do your 7 o'clock show, it'd be 2 in the morning there.
Right.
Would you be able to get up at 2 in the morning to do your show?
I probably wouldn't be going to sleep till after the show.
Wow.
and those of you who know me know that that's not true.
Yeah. Well, sometime next year, if there's dead air on between 7 and 8, you know where Elaine is and what she made it.
No. But I mean, I have to say, everybody dreams of the Powerball.
Oh, yeah.
And my
$384 million.
Hey, listen, I will, you know.
Pocket change.
Oh, geez. You know, if I had half of that, that would be great.
As Jackie Gleason would say, a mere bag of shells.
Oh, yeah. Yep. So, but everybody gets the itch, you know, when it's like $100 million or whatever. So now the buzz is $300 and whatever million. Let's play the lottery. But I have my dad's special numbers, you see.
Oh, okay.
And before he passed, he said, make sure you play those numbers. And I'm going, yeah, I will. And guess what? I woke up this morning.
And played them?
Of course I did.
And are you like me and other people? You already have the money spent before you won it?
No.
No? Oh, God, I know what I
do. No, I'd pay you off all three kids' homes.
So you do?
Well, I mean, that would be the first thing I would do. Yeah. I'd pay all three mortgages off, yeah. And the college funds for all the grandkids. Yeah. That would be my first thing before.
My first thing was, of course, I'd take care of my kids and relatives, but I would make sure everybody in Attleboro has a full tank of oil.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Wow. Well,
I mean, that's the fun of winning that winning money, is helping other people. And, you know, that's a great deal of satisfaction than me going out there and buying an $8,000 wristwatch. Who cares?
Oh, no. Materialistic things, no. I mean, I think that you reach a certain age where, you know, the value is where you are, you know, in life, and helping families, helping organizations and things like that. How about you, Richard, if you hit it big?
If I hit it big, I'd pay off all the debts that I have, you know, like college loans that I still pay on a monthly basis.
Don't forget to contribute to my Social Security.
Oh, yeah, the Tony's Social Security, that's important, too.
Right.
But and then after paying all my debts, I would invest in the stock market, maybe a little bit. I'd also purchase a new car for myself. But also, I'd give back to charity as well. And, you know, something.
And what kind of car were you thinking? That.
I was thinking a Malibu. Oh, something simple.
Yeah.
A Malibu. Yeah.
Yep.
The car, not the animal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you could ride a Malibu, couldn't
you? No.
Well, put a harness on it.
No. Hold on. I got to hold you there, guys, because we've got to take our second break. And I've seen Jim Corbin in studio. He's waiting for us to take a break so he can come in.
Oh, he's
anyway, you're listening to Out and About with Elaine. We're taking a break, and Jim Corbin, our meteorologist, will be here to let us know it's going to be sunny and 80 degrees in Florida. We'll be right back after these messages.
Falling on the cold ground. Gloom and misery.
Citizenship and the Literacy Center are holding a citizen workshop to help people fill out their N-400 application for citizenship. The workshop will take place in the Attleboro Public Library's Balfour Room from 3 to 8 p.m. on February 28th. Project Citizenship is a nonprofit agency that works collaboratively with community-based partners to help eligible, legal permanent residents overcome barriers to become a U.S. citizen. If you would like to attend the workshop, you can register by calling Project Citizenship at 617-694-5949.
So, you know, I'm a dog, and I'm kind of new to this family, but I've noticed a trend. My humans do this thing where they go around and get all my toys and hide them in this basket. But it's always the same basket, and it's always the same place. And then they act so surprised when I find them. But I'm like, hello, that's where you put it last time. Humans are the worst at hide-and-go-seek.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Staying at home, surrounded by family and friends, resting comfortably, with your illness under control, and support for your family caregivers. That's what most Americans want at life's end. Hospice can make it happen. With the help of hospice, patients and families alike can focus on what's most important, enjoying life together and living as fully as possible. Feel free to contact Community VNA Hospice at 508-222-0118. You can also visit communityvna.com for more information.
Hello there, Peterman here, and this is Out and About with Elaine. Nice to know that she's gainfully employed.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow's glistening. A beautiful sight, oh, we're happy tonight. Walking in a winter wonderland.
Yeah, I think we certainly are going to be walking in a winter wonderland this morning. We have Jim Corbin live in studio with Richard Lunt and Tony Viveras, and Mike Catanzaro's on our board here. If you'd like a question answered, just give us a call, because the weatherman is in studio, 508-222-1320. And we're going to put him on right now.
Greetings and felicitations.
Oh, well, thank you.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Hello. You're talking, I heard all of you talking about, you know, New Year's and what's happening. And you mentioned, Richard, you were at some of the ones in Boston. I know in 1980, I was a freshman in college. We came down from Vermont to go to the 1980 Boston New Year's thing. And it was new then. You said about 1975, so it had been about 5 years. And it was great, but I remember the weather being like 35, 40 degrees. Of course, who figures I would remember the temperature? But the point being, this is one of the, obviously, the coldest New Year's we're going to have, and it's day five now of what started. You might remember the other day, Christmas Day, we had that snow in the morning. Mm. It rained early, then went over to snow, and then it got not that cold in the afternoon. The sun came out. Since then, the 26th, if you do the math, 26th, which was a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, today is now day five of what is likely to be about a 12-day stretch of extreme cold, something we have not seen in, believe it or not, exactly 100 years.
Wow. So
you were mentioning, one of you were just saying, just before I walked in the building, about this is about as cold a New Year's as we've ever had. And in fact, it's 100 years to the date. Now, of course, it's tomorrow evening. 100 years ago, we were in the midst of World War I. It was 1917 going to 1918. We were worldwide, including the United States, was under the influenza epidemic. So the whole world had the flu, and we also had extreme cold. And in fact, today, December 30th, 1917, was obviously the day before New Year's that year, New Year's Eve, it was the coldest day feeling-wise of the 20th century. Here in the Attleboro area, the high temperature was 1 and the low was 20 below.
Wow.
And that's not including the wind. I bring this up just because it's ironic that you'll hear people say, when was the last time it was this cold on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day? And assuming the forecast for the next few days works out, we're pretty confident it will. And again, this is after the late day snow today, which shouldn't be a big deal. Exactly 100 years ago.
And Richard could have told you that because he was there.
I know. Yeah, I look good for a...
You do.
Well, yeah, it's interesting. And again, the snow later today is going to be the real fluffy fake snow. We might get an inch or a little more, but it's the type of snow you probably wouldn't even have to use a brush. You could almost just take it with your hand and push it away. Obviously, a brush is a little quicker, but by 7, 8 o'clock this evening, it'll be all gone.
Oh, good.
And it'll just kind of whiten up the countryside a little bit, and then we're back to cold weather. In fact, Monday, New Year's Day, is going to be colder than the other day by a couple of degrees. It's going to be the coldest daytime we've had. You might remember, and I've mentioned this the last few days with Dom and Paul, 2004 in January, so 13 years ago, roughly, or whatever it was, 14 years now, next month, we had a stretch of cold weather. Didn't last as long, but it was a little more intense. And you might remember, and Mike might remember, just because it was a lot of it, I remember I was working at Channel 10 at the time, Rhode Island had closed schools because it was too cold. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I remember
that.
Yes, I remember that.
People were saying, oh, you're only supposed to close schools when it snows, when it's too much snow. But no, it was extremely cold. And the kids had just come out of the vacation because it started around January 7th, 2004. And we had about a four-day stretch of extreme cold. But then we had about a 2 to 3 day thaw. And then we had about 2 or 3 more days of extreme cold. And that was it the entire winter. But they did close schools. And I bring this up because I think there's a chance you might see school closings on Tuesday.
Wow, yeah, I was going to say, either because of that or frozen pipes or furnaces broken down in schools. So. Yeah.
Well, I think kids going to the bus stop, too. You know, I think that the little ones are out there, you know, and they have to wait for the bus. And frostbite happens within
and
like
because,
10 minutes
and
or so.
Because yeah, just coming in now, it was today's, for example, sunrises. These are the latest sunrises we'll have now, 7:13, so about 20 minutes ago, whatever it was. So on Tuesday morning, whatever happens, whether the schools are closed or not, if the kids are at the bus stops, you've got these late sunrises. So the coldest time of the day in the morning is between around 7:30 and 8 o'clock mm-hmm. when there are a lot of kids at the bus stops. It's not like it's, you know, a cold morning in April or May when it could be very cold, but the coldest temperature is at 5:30. So it'll be 2 hours or so after the warm-up, a slow warm-up, that the kids are at the bus stop. So it wouldn't surprise me if there are issues on Tuesday morning.
Quick question. Did anybody see the video of that individual on Mount Washington pouring out boiling water?
Yeah.
And it came out sideways, and it came out as snow, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the effect of that is obviously because of the strong winds up there. I've seen it done with even dead calm, and you just have to throw it out the pail. Minnesota, they do it a lot because it's sometimes colder than that, but the effect was that the strong wind, so it came flying out of the pail or whatever they were using.
Yeah, what was the temperature?
It was about 30. I remember seeing that because I remember that morning I was looking up there because I like to kid with Dom about how cold it is in certain places. We've been actually colder than Barrow, Alaska, if you can believe that, northern tip. It was 33 below.
At Mount Washington?
At that time when that guy was out there throwing it, 33 below, but the wind was blowing at about 70 miles an hour. So, so that's why, and of course, that's just about the cutoff where 70 miles an hour where they can stand out there and they don't have to be chained down. Usually by the time, because I know some people that have worked up there, by the time it gets to about 80, 90 miles an hour, because it's all exposed. It's not like we get 80 mile an hour wind gusts in a thunderstorm around here that might last like 15 seconds. That is basically constant almost. It goes up and down a little bit. But so that guy was out there in ridiculous, he was right on the edge of foolishly not being out there without a chain or without rope down. Mm. But, that happens. I mean, when you get to that cold, I mean, it's...
Wow.
What's the coldest all of you have ever been in that you know? Like, the coldest you remember, you kind of think you know the temperature, like, Richard. Like, here we are with this cold spell coming up.
Yeah, I remember a couple of years ago I was waiting for the train going to Boston, and it was probably about maybe 12 degrees. That was the coldest
I've... You can really feel it. I mean, here's a question. What, and I always ask that whenever we have all these, especially in the winter, would you rather have the weather we're having now, again, outside of a little dusting later on this afternoon, the snow is not going to be, if this were tomorrow nights and it was snowing, be a bad situation. You have the people on the roads that don't know what they're doing, a little bit of drinking and things like that. So at least it's happening tonight, not tomorrow night. But would you rather have icing like we had, actually it's a three question, like we had the other day, last weekend, where the roads, and it's make 28 degrees, would you rather have 10 inches of snow, gusty winds or a foot of snow, or would you rather have the weather we're having right now, dry roadways for the most part, outside of, you know, patches of ice here and there, but dry roadways but very cold? Would you rather have it a ton of snow but 30 degrees, or no snow and 5 below 0?
Me? I'd be staying home with the fireplace regardless of what out there. And don't ask me what I'm doing here this morning.
You made it. That's the important thing. What do you think, Elaine?
Well, I like snow, so I take the foot of snow in 30 degrees.
So 30 degrees and the foot of snow, yeah.
Yeah, I would do the same thing, 30 degrees and snow, so you can go out skiing or snow tubing and stuff like that.
That's the thing. Yeah. What you're talking about being out and about over the next few days and even after New Year's, of course, the kids are back to school, and a lot of people are back to work after maybe taking this past week off. You're going to see a lot of video from not just the ski areas, which have done well because they've been able to make snow, but you're going to see video of Boston Harbor. You're going to see Providence near Fox Point. You're going to see it off of Connecticut Point on Narragansett Bay. You're going to see it icing up. They're going to have icebreakers in probably next week because this is unprecedented. It's one thing to get the extreme cold, which we typically can get for maybe on average about 3 days. 2 to 3 days, and then you have a warm-up. Might not be a major thaw, but you'll have it warm up back to 30, 32, 35 degrees. We don't see anything close to that until maybe a week from tomorrow or Monday. Wow. So we still have about 8 or 9 more days of this. So what you're going to see is salt water, which freezes at a 29 degrees because of its properties. It takes 3 degrees colder a temperature to freeze up. So you have these bays. And like I said, Rhode Islanders will be watching Narragansett Bay, Boston Harbor. Down on the Cape, there are parts of the Cape near Barnstable, if you know that area, the north side. Mm-hmm. The bay side, it's shallower. So that area, Barnstable Harbor, freezes off. I've seen it many times from the air, visible satellite. You can see Barnstable Harbor in extreme cold, all covered with ice. And sometimes right off Hyannis, right off the Kennedy's place to the east there, you can see patches of ice. And that's only when it's extremely cold. And that's only when it happens for 3 or 4 straight days. The fact that we're going to have this cold with varying intensity for today's day 5, it's going to be, I think, at least, talk about the 12 days of Christmas. Mm. This is the 12 days of the icebox.
Wow.
You know, really, seriously. And it started just about exactly the 12 days of Christmas. It started on the 26th, this past Tuesday, and it looks like it's going through next Sunday, a week from tomorrow.
Can I ask you, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I just got to tell you, my wife and I are great lovers of the Cape, so we spend quite a bit of time down the Cape, and we've seen, like, Skagit Beach, which is on the bay side, as you said, the north side, are completely frozen over.
Yeah.
And a few years ago when we celebrated New Year's Eve down there with our grandkids, we took them down to Skagit Beach, and here was this couple next. I was in the car. I wasn't going to get out. Couple next to me, all of a sudden they pull up, then they start undressing. I'm saying, what the hell's going on here? And they both get out in swimsuits and go over that ice and jump in the water. And I'm saying, can you imagine this New Year's?
That's right. They do the plunge.
Because there are plenty.
They do the plunge. I heard one of them might be postponed. The Fall River one, I heard, which I think is not ridiculous, but you know, it's an event because it's cold.
Mm-hmm.
And the one in Fall River, whatever that name, the name of that is, I saw last night. Apparently, they've decided to postpone it because it'll be too cold. Well, that's the reason why
you plunge.
You plunge in,
right.
and it's not any colder really. Because, like I said, if you're jumping in salt water, if you have salt water, the water can be no colder than 29 degrees if it hasn't iced up yet.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're jumping in off Fall River or the one that's in Newport, the one that's off Boston, the water is still the same temperature until it freezes.
Right.
So it's only when you're standing on the beach before you go in that this, I think it was a woman that said, it doesn't matter who was a man or a woman, but the person that runs this thing said, nope, we're calling it off because it'll be too cold.
Well,
wow.
you know,
the plunge.
Yeah.
I have to say, you know, besides going in cold water, a mind is a powerful thing.
True.
I mean, just to think that it's 0 degrees and you're jumping in cold water and in
it's
a bathing
pretty cool.
suit.
Apparently, if you can stand it for a few seconds of it, it's actually overall, unless you have heart issues, it's actually good for your body for a few seconds. Of course, most people would not want to stand the extreme chill. You know.
Yeah. True. I do have to reel you back in here on two accounts. I just have a quick question. Accumulation today, if you can give us an update, and then we got to take a break.
Well, the further north you go from the greater Attleboro, or say you're up towards Norwood, Boston, they might just get snow showers that might barely even go to the ground. Around Attleboro, I'm thinking about an inch, maybe a slightly inch more, and you say, oh, an inch, that's not, but it's going to be fluff. As you head down to Fall River, Narragansett, 2 inches and maybe 3 inches down on the Cape and Islands. But it's the type of snow that it's almost like the fake snow you see in movies and TV,
mm-hmm.
you know, where it's
very
not really
fluffy.
Snow. It's not even snow. They use, you know, they're not. Hey, that's the other thing. When you watch a TV show or a movie and they're supposedly outside in the cold, but you don't see the breath coming out, you know they're really indoors on a stage.
Yep.
You know?
Very good. I'll hold you there right now because I got to take our last break. And when we come back, we hope that you, our listeners, will dial in and with your New Year's resolutions or if you have a question for any of my guests. Feel free to call us at 508-222-1320. Happy New Year, everyone. We'll take our last break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
It's the happiest season of all.
With those holidays. The monthly meeting of the Gatcher Consumer Advisory Committee will take place in the Balfour Room of the Attleboro Public Library on Thursday, January 18th from 1 to 2 p.m. This meeting is open to the public. Anyone wishing to come speak about issues with the Gatcher Fixed Route or Paratransit services is invited to attend. Group transportation to and from the meeting is provided free of charge by Gatcher, and the meeting is accessible to individuals with disabilities. To arrange for a ride to the next meeting, you can call 508-824-1367 by noon the day before the meeting.
Today we decided to walk to school. At the corner, we waited to cross the street. The stoplight counted down. 15,
41, 31, I mean 13.
We took a left on Carroll Garden Street.
Loud music was coming from a car.
Danny's a smart kid, but he gets so distracted.
There were so many other sounds, I didn't know what to focus on.
Danny, Earth to Danny. Suddenly, he realized he forgot his homework again.
I left my homework on the table.
At the school steps, we hugged goodbye. I really hope he doesn't have another bad day at school today.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's understood.org. A free online resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Get personalized recommendations, practical tips, daily access to experts, and more. Go from misunderstanding to understood.org. Brought to you by Understood and the Ad Council.
Community VNA, with offices at 10 Emory Street in Attleboro, offers a wide variety of community-based health and supportive services to people of all ages. These programs are designed to maintain and improve our clients' well-being and quality of life. Community VNA is an experienced, compassionate home health agency certified by the state and federal government and has been named to Home Care Elite's 500, putting our agency in the top 5% of the nation for quality care. For more information, visit our website at www.communityvna.com or call us at 508-222-0118.
Hello there, Peterman here, and this is Out and About with Elaine. Nice to know that she's gainfully employed.
Good morning, everyone. If you're just getting up, this is Elaine LaRoche, and you're listening to Out and About with Elaine. And in studio, I have Tony Viveras, Jim Corbin, and Richard Lunt, and we're talking about everything and anything. Our number here is 508-222-1320. Jim, during break, we were talking about some interesting things about everything weather, and we wanted to ask you to wait and explain about the jet stream and when we're going to have our next storm.
Yeah, well, very quickly, the cold we're getting now really developed a little over a month ago in northern Siberia. It came over the North Pole about 3 weeks ago. And what usually is the case, it gets deflected off to the east. But this time, because of the way the jet stream is centered, it did not get deflected off to the east. And almost the entire continent of Canada, or country of Canada, has snow on the ground that acts like a refrigerator. So this air is not being modified much as it comes down. The other thing is, because it's coming in fairly early this year, most of our, as you know, most of our really cold weather is sometime in January into early February. The fact that it's coming now and you have the very weak sun angle this time of the year. If this cold were coming, and we've had this cold weather, this type of cold in February, and you say, oh yeah, it's been cold February. But in February, the sun is about 20-25% stronger, so you get a lot more melting during the afternoon. The sun feels, it warms you up better than now. So we're in it's almost like being on not a good stage for the cold to be pushed away. The stage is set. We have a little bit of snow on the ground, not much here in Attleboro. If you head 30, 40 miles northwest of here, there's about 5 inches still on the ground. But the stage is a weak sun, as I like to call it, a wimp sun this time of the year. Look, notice the last few days when we've been in the 10, 15 degrees, the sun is out, the sun's doing absolutely nothing. If this were February or March, it would still be cold, but it wouldn't feel as bad because the sun is higher in the sky, the day is longer. So we're dealing with this cold unusually early, and it's happening on days that are very short. And so the cold lasts longer. The nights are longer, and that's why this issue we talked about maybe next Tuesday, the kids at the bus stop, the low temperature usually won't occur until around 8 o'clock in the morning now because we have these late sunrises.
Right.
And next week, Thursday,
right.
Is our next chance. Now, again, an inch or so of fluff later this afternoon and this evening. Good news that it's happening the middle of the weekend, not tomorrow night for the holiday with people out and about. But Thursday is the next threat. It's either going to go out to sea. You say, oh, either. What are you hedging on? Well, it's going to be a close call. But if it does hit us, that one would be a lot more snow. Potentially, if I had to say out to sea, yes, that's a good possibility. But if it comes close enough, we could be looking at strong winds and maybe a foot of snow. So,
wow, no kidding.
That would be around Thursday.
Thursday.
But whatever happens with that, whether it goes out to sea or not, on the backside, more bitter cold as we go into next weekend. And then finally, maybe Monday of next week, a week from this Monday, we actually could crack freezing, maybe 35 or 40.
And I know you call it a weak sun, but the only time the sun feels good at this time of the year is when you're sitting in your car and the sun's beating through the windows.
Coming through the sides, yeah. What you want to do on days when it's cold, on the south side of your house, not necessarily the north side, is leave the, if you have
shades
curtains
open.
Or shades, leave the shades open. The sun is coming in slantwise, really low, and it'll actually help out. Now, you don't want to do it on the north side when there's no sun, so you want to leave the shades northwest, north. I'm pointing because I'm thinking north. Is that way? Here we are in the street. But you want to leave the shades open, and just like you said, you can actually warm up in your car with the sun this time of the year because it's the angle of the sun that is the main thing.
Yeah,
so.
I noticed that when the sun beats into the dining room, the cat goes where the sun is.
Oh yeah,
and lays on the rug.
Would you agree?
That's definitely what. Thanks, Elaine. Yeah.
You're welcome. The reason why he's saying thanks, Elaine, throughout the show is Tony is very animated in the studio, but he doesn't realize, like, when he pounds on the counter.
I jump up and down on the counter.
He does, so we have to have padding here for him so he remembers to just take it easy.
He doesn't hurt himself.
We love you, Tony. You know that.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, yeah.
And I got to add something to the show. Well, excuse me, Jim, for just getting off the weather. This year, I'm glad that the year is ending and I can see a brand new year. And when you get to my age, boy, every year is a blessing. But we just lost a couple of friends, but one of them was Tom McAvoy, and I'm sure if anybody knows Tom McAvoy, who wrote the column in the Sun Chronicle,
yes.
who passed away this week. He was such, when you said animated, Tom was one of those people. And it'll be sadly missed. And we have a call?
Yes, we do. We have Tom Roth, and he's only got another a minute 30. So ready, set, go, Tom.
Well, Happy New Year to everybody.
Happy New Year, Tom.
Who's there?
Oh, I see you've been listening to the show. That's great.
I know. It's not that. I'm carrying like five heavy, huge boxes of blood up to Burlington as we speak.
Oh,
there's a critical shortage of blood everywhere. So I've been trying to get the app. I've been, you know, it's on my phone. It just wouldn't come in today.
That's okay. No, we have Tony. We have Jim Corbin. We have Richard Lunt here. And
we have Elaine.
Everybody
and Mike.
Me.
Except you, my friend.
That's right. So when you come in.
You'll have to come in.
Yeah, come on in and bring 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. About four bottles of champagne.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, don't go there, because he's always on me about my budget for out and about.
Tom, that's why I'm only getting four bottles.
Yeah. Tom, very quickly, you mentioned, I think, yesterday on the air, you were concerned about the being so cold that the blood could freeze up as you travel.
Yeah, Friday night I had a problem. I had to drive all the way out to Holyoke with some very, very specific specimens, and when I got out there, one of the specimens that was not supposed to be frozen was frozen. Ooh. So, but we worked around it, and you know, everything is fine. We learned from that experience.
Wow!
Don't you have heat in your car?
My God!
Yes, it is. I'd like to ask Jim Corbin why there's so much snow, more snow up here in 95-128 up around Burlington in this area. I started out this morning in Dedham, and there's even more snow in Dedham, and that's like 38 miles.
The reason is they had, it changed over to snow on Christmas morning earlier there. Matter of fact, if you remember, there was rain in the Attleboro area early Christmas morning. Then it changed over to snow and then ended. Whereas the places north and west of here had a little bit of rain around 2, 3 in the morning, and then they went over to snow earlier. So that's why they've had more snow. And in fact, that's why the mornings have been colder north and west of here because of the deeper snow cover. If we had an extra 2 or 3 inches of snow here in the greater Attleboro area on the ground, Tom, we would likely see temperatures 5 to 10 degrees colder at night.
Yeah, boy.
But it's been cold enough, so let's not argue about that.
Yes, true, true. All right, friend, I've got 15 seconds left to wrap up.
All right,
but,
let's all be healthy and happy and help each other for the next 365 days, and keep on keeping on, I guess.
Yeah, and let one of us win the Powerball.
Woo, that'd be nice.
Well, I don't play the lottery, so it's not going to be me. So, anyway, have a wonderful 2018. Stay warm, and that's it from TR here. Driver 92 for Millers.
All right, Tom. Well, thanks,
Happy
Tom.
New Year.
Happy
later.
New
Bye-bye.
Year, Tom.
Okay,
take care. All right. We'll have to have him in the studio. He's doing a very important job for his company. So we have to commend Tom for that. Mm-hmm. So with only a few more minutes to go, actually, I've got to wrap up the show, I guess, because we want to play out a song. Okay. So I want to thank all of you for coming in, Tony Viveras.
Thank you very much. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
To
you,
Elaine, and hopefully we'll see each other
soon.
Next year.
Yes. And Jim Corbin and Richard Lund. Rich is coming back in the studio next week, so we don't want to miss that. And I would like to remind you all that Dominic will be back on Tuesday from 6 a.m. to 9, and Paul Healy will be here 9 to noon on Tuesday. Our show Out and About with Elaine is on next Saturday with Richard Lund as my special guest and Jim Corbin with our forecast, and also you, our listeners. So from all of us here on WARA 1320, thanks for listening today. Happy New Year, everyone, and meet us back here next Saturday.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.